Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. You're listening to Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG, and we're online at kpcg.fm, and I have a live link at thetrumpet.com. If you'd like to listen to other episodes of Live by Every Word or any programming here on KPCG, you can find the podcast at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com as well. Well, every year, God's church keeps the Feast of Tabernacles. And yet many in the world consider this feast to be for Jewish people only. But as we will see, the Feast of Tabernacles and all of God's annual Sabbaths are for the whole world. God intends everybody to keep His holy days. He intends everybody to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And eventually, the whole world will keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Let's begin today in John 7. And if you have a Bible, please get it out. Let's look at some of these scriptures together and see what God's Word has to say about this incredible topic of the Feast of Tabernacles. John 7 and verse 2, it says, "Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand." So just looking at that scripture, people could assume that the Feast of Tabernacles is something only for the Jewish people. What does it mean, the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles? This does not mean that God intends that only the Jews keep the feast. It doesn't mean that. In the Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course, which you can sign up for free at thetrumpet.com, it says this: John was writing primarily for Gentiles and before conversion. The Gentiles saw the feast only as a part of the different religion of the Jews. It was something the Jews did, and the Gentiles, before they were converted, didn't understand it. It goes on to say, "By this time, the nation of Israel had lost the knowledge of God's holy days. Judah, on the other hand, had preserved the Old Testament scriptures, the festivals of God, and God's calendar. So it would have been natural for John to distinguish the feast he was referring to by naming the people who were keeping it. It was the Jews' feast because they kept it. Judah was keeping the feast. The other tribes of Israel, and remember, it's more than just the Jews. Our free book on the United States and Britain in prophecy makes that clear, and you can get that at thetrumpet.com as well. But only the Jews at this time were keeping the feast." So he was describing it. It's the Jews' feast, the feast the Jews are keeping. That doesn't mean that the other tribes of Israel shouldn't keep it, or the world shouldn't keep it. It just means that at that time, the Jews were keeping it. But also, there's something else here. The Jews at that time were not keeping the feast as God commanded. After all, you can read in the first verse of John 7 that at that time they were trying to kill the very Son of God while they were celebrating the feast. I mean, here they are trying to keep the Feast of Tabernacles, and at the same time, they're thinking about murdering the Son of God. Clearly, they weren't keeping the feast in the right attitude. I mean, just imagine that. You know, how could a person be so double-minded, but yet that was happening? That was happening, where they were trying to keep the letter of the law and keep the feast that God commanded, but then at the same time, their hearts were full of hatred and murder, and they were actually trying to commit the physical murder and kill the very Son of God at that. So do you suppose that God was pleased with the way that they were keeping the feast? Well, clearly not. That's really a good warning for all of us to stop and consider. I mean, we can be going through the physical motions of keeping some aspect of God's word, whether it be the Feast of Tabernacles or another holy day or the Ten Commandments. But really, we need to consider what our attitude is. You know, are we keeping it the right way? It's very important. Notice this in Matthew 5. Matthew 5, Christ really magnified the law of God to include people's intent, their attitude, what was going on in their minds. Matthew 5, verses 21 and 22, Christ said, "You have heard that it was said of them of old time, 'You shall not kill,' and 'Whoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment.' But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. So here he says, yeah, you know the law that you should not kill somebody. He said, but I'm saying to you, I'm explaining to you the depth of this here, that if you're angry at your brother without cause, you have this hatred in your heart, you're in that same danger that you would be as if you were to have killed somebody physically. Christ magnified the law. And so here the Jews at that time were technically keeping the Feast of Tabernacles. They were observing it. They were going to the festival. But in the case of the religious leaders anyway, their hearts were full of hatred towards Christ, and they were trying to kill him. And so we have to be very careful about our attitudes when we're living our lives and going about trying to obey God. We have to really look at our attitude. Christ magnified the law. It's a very important thing to consider. Not only should we keep the Feast of Tabernacles, as we'll see from these passages, but we need to keep it in the right spirit and the right attitude. God's law has a lot of depth to it, and it's more than just physically doing something or not doing something. Notice John 7 and verse 3. We'll look at a few more passages here in John 7. It says, his brethren therefore said unto him, talking to Christ, depart hence and go into Judea, that your disciples also may see the works that you do. Christ said in verse 8, go you up unto this feast. Now the command Christ gives to his brethren, to his people, is go to the feast. That's what he told them at that time, and it applies to us as well. Go up to the feast. Go to the feast. Keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And then we'll see down here further what Christ himself did in verses 10 and 11 of John 7. It says, but when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, where is he? See, everyone knew that Christ would go to the feast because he always did. Sometimes it is popular today, and you probably have heard this, people to say, what would Jesus do? You know, that'll kind of be a mantra that some people have. What would Jesus do? Well, Jesus would go to the Feast of Tabernacles. That's what he did. He went to the Feast of Tabernacles. We just read it. And this time he went up, and he as we'll see, and as we read a little bit about there, he was not putting himself in the limelight right away because the Jews were seeking to kill him at that time, or the religious leaders especially. But the Jews were seeking him. They said, well, where is he? You know, Christ comes up to the feast. It wasn't a surprise to them. He came up to the feast and set us an example of what we should do. Verse 14 says, now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and he taught. So the 7-day Feast of Tabernacles, he waited till the middle, and then he began to teach. Verse 10 shows that Christ had been at the entire feast, but was there secretly, staying out of the limelight because certain of the religious leaders were trying to kill him. But then he did begin to teach there in the midst of the feast, as the scripture says. So should we keep the feast as Christ did? He kept the Feast of Tabernacles. Should we do it? Or was he just following an Old Testament festival? You know, some people would think that. Well, that was, you know, what they did in ancient Israel. Maybe it doesn't apply today. But that's not what the Bible says. We know that Christ kept the feast. We've just read it. And now let's look at another passage in 1 John 2. 1 John 2 and see an admonition for us today. 1 John 2, verses 4 through 6, it says, he that says, I know him, Christ, and keeps not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keeps his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that says he abides in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Those are pretty strong words. You know, we are to walk as Christ walked. He went to the feast. We're to go to the feast. In verse 4, as we just read there, I mean, that's very serious. if we say, well, I know him, I know Christ, I'm a Christian, but we don't keep the commandments, it says we're lying. Pretty serious admonitions here. And the Bible, as Mr. Armstrong taught, it is a jigsaw puzzle. You have to put the different scriptures together. I mean, what have we seen today? We've seen that Christ kept the Feast of Tabernacles. We've seen that you have to keep it in the right attitude. And we've also seen that we need to walk as Christ walked. Those are the days he kept. He did not keep Christmas. He didn't keep Easter or any of those days. He kept the Feast of Tabernacles and all of God's holy days and the weekly Sabbath. That's what Christ did. He set us an example of what to do and how to live. And as we just read there in 1 John 2, our job then is to follow that example. Now, with such dangerous circumstances for Christ at the time of going to the feast here, as recorded in John 7, if ever there was an excuse not to attend one of God's feasts, surely this would have been it. It would have been easy to humanly rationalize and say, well, you know, they're trying to kill me. I'm not going to go to the feast this year. But Christ did. It's easy to make excuses about why maybe a person would not want to keep the Sabbath day every week or why they wouldn't want to go to the feast this year. You know, and there are maybe some extreme situations where for a time a person can't. But, you know, when it's a matter of rationalizing to try to get out of keeping the commandments, that's not what Christ did. I mean, he went to the feast and set us an example of what to do and how to live. The whole world will eventually keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Everybody's going to keep it. And it's going to be such an amazing and a wonderful time. And the Bible shows that the world in its entirety will keep the Feast of Tabernacles. We'll take a look at that right after this short break here on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. We'll be right back.
One may blind his eyes to existing facts and trends and say the world cannot get any worse than it already is. Or, if we just ignore the conditions and don't worry, perhaps they'll go away. But these conditions and trends won't just go away. Not unless they are caused to go away. The scriptures of the Holy Bible, the inspired revelation of the Supreme God, have foretold today's world conditions and trends, and give us the advance news of coming peace on earth, of universal prosperity, of happiness and joy, of veritable utopia. This is the good news of the world tomorrow, and it is absolutely sure. This coming world is vividly described in our booklet, The Wonderful World Tomorrow, What It Will Be Like. Bible prophecy explains in detail how God will intervene to save mankind from destroying himself. Jesus Christ will return to earth, putting an end to the rule of man and restore God's government on earth. To learn much more about this prophesied utopia, please visit thetrumpet.com.
This is Live by Every Word.
Welcome back to Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. This is Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG. Thanks for joining us. Today, we're looking at the Feast of Tabernacles and Christ's example. He kept the Feast of Tabernacles, even though his life was in danger. He went to the Feast of Tabernacles, and he kept it. And he set us an example as well, that we need to keep the feast. Now, the Feast of Tabernacles is such a wonderful festival, and there is so much rich meaning and joy in the Feast of Tabernacles, that those who don't keep it are really missing out. Really missing out. It's not a burden to keep the feast. It's a joy. It brings so many great blessings. And for those that aren't keeping it, they are missing out. And there are plenty of people that just don't know about it today. They haven't learned about it yet. But they're going to. The whole world is going to learn about God's holy days and the wonderful Feast of Tabernacles. All the tribes of Israel, in addition to Judah, will keep the feast in the millennium after Christ returns. And again, there's more than just Judah in Israel. There's 12 tribes. And Judah is just one of those tribes. Hosea 12, verses 8 through 9. Let's take a look at this passage here. This shows that all the tribes of Israel will be keeping the feast. Hosea 12, verses 8 through 9, talking specifically here about Ephraim. It says, "And Ephraim said, yet I am become rich. I have found me out substance." Down in verse 9 it says, "And I that am the eternal your God from the land of Egypt will yet make you to dwell in tabernacles as in the days of the solemn feast." So here Ephraim, that's a tribe of Israel, they're going to be keeping the Feast of Tabernacles. Now Ephraim as a whole does not keep the Feast of Tabernacles today. And that's the British people. They do not keep the Feast of Tabernacles. There's a lot of problems in that land and in the lands of modern Israel today because of rebellion against God and not keeping these feasts. Israel is supposed to be an example to the world of how to obey God, and they will be. The Gentile nations also are going to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This festival is for every person, every race, everybody. Zechariah 14 and verse 9 shows this. It says, "And the Eternal shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord and his name one." And Christ is going to rule the entire earth, king over the entire earth, every people. Every nation, we're not going to have a variety of religions or ideologies. It's going to be the truth of God. Verse 16 says, "And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Eternal of Hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles." They're going to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Everybody's going to do that. Imagine what kind of a time that will be. All nations of the earth keeping the Feast of Tabernacles. That's going to be a global celebration. Not too long ago, we saw the World Cup. It probably is a sporting event that captures most of the world's attention at a certain time. And people become at least focused on the same thing. But here at the Feast of Tabernacles, the whole world's going to be keeping that. And it's going to be a time of joy and a time of blessings. And there's not going to be any negative kickbacks from it. The whole world keeping the Feast of Tabernacles, as well as all of God's holy days. And there's going to be a lot of people that need to learn about the feast, that need to understand what it's about, that need to rehearse it year to year. Who's going to teach those people? There have to be a lot of qualified teachers to go out and teach these nations. Let's notice Revelation 1. And see who's going to teach. Revelation 1, verses 5 and 6. It says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." Verse 6, "And has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." I mean, those are words that are easy enough to read over, but if we really stop and consider what they're saying, it shows that God's people today are being prepared, being kings and priests, teachers, kings and priests in embryo today, being trained and prepared for those that will embrace it, for those that will be trained, then God's going to have this great opportunity in the future for those people to go out and to teach, be kings and priests. And so that's why it's so important to be keeping the Feast of Tabernacles today. It's preparation to help teach about the Feast of Tabernacles after Christ returns. There needs to be qualified teachers that understand what the feast is about and can give people hope and joy and meaning and understanding. That preparation time is now. After returning to earth in power and glory, Christ will start immediately to re-educate the people of the world through his annual festivals. And again, he'll be using those people that have qualified today as teachers to help him. the world will come to know that Christ is the Lord, and that God's master plan pictures the way to physical blessings and spiritual salvation. There's going to be some really exciting messages at that time. You know, a nation coming up, and you can imagine standing in front of them and telling the large group, how many ever are in that particular group, that look, you know, you want to be blessed. You want to have a very blessed year between now and next feast. I'm going to tell you how to have the most blessed year that you've ever experienced, and teach them out of God's word how to do it. They're going to be so excited and eager to put it into practice. And they're going to see other nations that are keeping the feast and have been doing it, and how blessed they are, the nations of Israel and the tribes of Israel. And they're going to see that as an example, and they're going to want to follow that example. That's what God intended, so that everybody can be blessed. Now, it takes time to unlearn false doctrines, false religions. It takes time to learn God's truth, and so it will take time after Christ returns as well. Notice in verse 17 of Zechariah 14, it says, "And it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain." People will have to learn to obey God, and they will have to be taught, and they will have to be corrected if they refuse to obey. But all of it will be done in love. Those nations will have to be steered in the right direction so that God can pour out his blessings upon them. But it does take time to learn and to change. And that's going to be the case after Christ's return as well. Although the process will be much more simplified with Satan out of the way, as is pictured by the Day of Atonement. Christ will first have to rule with a rod of iron. Revelation 12 and verse 5 shows that, symbolizing absolute authority, until the nations are convinced that their Father's way, the pagan religions of old, do not lead to lasting joy and salvation. They're going to have to see that. They're going to have to come to understand that. And they're going to have to choose the right way. And if they rebel, there's going to be a punishment because of it. Verses 18 and 19 show that. "And if the family of Egypt go not up, and come not, that have no rain, there shall be the plague, wherewith the Eternal will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles." Verse 19, "This shall be the punishment of Egypt, and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles." So, you know, there might be some nations that just say, "I'm not going to the feast." Well, they'll be punished for it. And if they still refuse after that, then they'll be punished more severely, because they need to go to the Feast of Tabernacles. Converting and teaching takes time. And it's going to take time. There's going to be teachers there to do it, those kings and priests that are being prepared today. Now, those with this attitude that are still rebelling against God, think they have a better way, they will suffer drought, it says. And if they still do not change their attitudes, plagues will afflict them until they do submit to God. But again, it's all out of love. It's to show them, to force them to accept God's way and be blessed. They have to be forced to be blessed, it seems sort of strange that would have to be the case, but that is the way that it has to be sometimes. And it's really interesting, too, if you consider this, that this prophecy we're looking at here of the future, I mean, it is talking about the millennium, should be proof that God always intended his holy days to be kept forever. You know, why would God be so specific on the fact that in the millennium, after Christ returns, everybody will keep the Feast of Tabernacles? And if they don't, here are the specific plagues that come upon them. Why would he do that if people don't have to keep it today? See, we do have to keep the Feast of Tabernacles today. God did not command ancient Israel to keep it and then say, well, nobody has to keep it, and then, but after Christ returns, then everybody will have to keep it. I mean, how confusing would that be? We know the Bible says that God doesn't change. Christ doesn't change. And neither do his laws, neither do the holy days. In the past, people in Israel kept the Feast of Tabernacles. Christ kept the Feast of Tabernacles. When Christ returns, the whole world will keep the Feast of Tabernacles. shouldn't we keep the Feast of Tabernacles today and do it with a right attitude? That's what the Bible says. And when we do that, when we do keep the feast and God's holy days and God's Sabbath, we have incredible blessings that God pours out upon us. If you want to know more about this topic, please request our free book, Pagan Holidays or God's Holy Days, Which? And also, don't forget to enroll in the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course to go through these lessons covering God's holy day plan. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.